Support for this episode of the podcast comes from our patrons at Patreon. Go to patreon.com/chasingEarhart to join the chase and become a patron today. On the morning of July 2nd, 1937, Amelia Earhart and her navigator Fred Noonan disappeared over the Pacific Ocean without a trace. 81 years later, all over the world lie scattered pieces of their puzzle, waiting to be put together. Welcome to Season 2 of the Chasing Earhart Podcast.
On a summer day in 1932, Amelia Earhart completed another record-breaking flight. A few weeks earlier, she had made history by being the first woman to fly solo across the Atlantic. Now she was a superstar, and her every move fascinated the public.
Yesterday, I hopped off from Los Angeles about noontime and landed in Newark this morning after a non-stop transcontinental trip.
And what did you carry on the trip?
You mean to eat?
Yeah, to eat and drink.
Well, I carried some water, of course, because my cockpit is very warm. And I carried a sandwich in case. I didn't eat it, though. I carried some hot chocolate and the old reliable tomato juice.
What kind of a sandwich was it?
Chicken sandwich.
Of all the missing persons cases in history, perhaps no other has captured the world like that of Amelia Earhart and Fred Noonan. Continuing to captivate the planet now for over eight decades, their disappearance over the Pacific Ocean on the morning of July the 2nd, 1937, made worldwide headlines then as well as now. Headline after headline were featured in newspapers and radio all over the world as the general public waited on the edge of their seats for any news regarding the iconic pair's vanishing. In 2018, the headlines continue to haunt us with new and often polarizing information making its way forward to fuel the fire with the world's obsession with finding a resolution to this iconic mystery. Tonight, Season 2 of the Chasing Earhart podcast continues with Episode 63 and Project guest Sarah Pruitt joining us via Zoom to discuss her book Breaking History Vanished. Sarah gives us her thoughts on the creation of this special book, why the Amelia Earhart case was a natural fit to feature, and why she believes that any information regarding the Amelia Earhart case continues to be breaking history. Our guest today is Sarah Pruitt. She wrote a really interesting and really cool book called Breaking History Vanished. She worked with the History Channel for a long time. We'll let her kind of get into that in just a few moments. But Sarah, thank you so much for sitting in on the podcast today.
Thank you, Chris. Happy to be here.
I'm not sure if you've heard any of the shows, but I want to start this show off the same way we do every other show we've ever recorded. And that is by having you talk a little bit about your education, your professional background, please.
I grew up in New Hampshire. My dad was a history teacher at Phillips Exeter Academy, where I went to school. And I only say that because that's kind of where my love of history began pretty early on. After high school, I went to Princeton University, where I studied history. And I began working for biography.com, the website for the show Biography on A&E, which is also the same company as History Channel. So that's how I kind of got involved with History Channel initially, always on the website. That was 1999, and the web was like the new thing, and I really wanted to learn more about it and write for them. So after a couple years, I ended up spending a few years in Spain and studying Spanish in Madrid, which I loved. And when I came back to the States in 3 years later, in 2005, I wanted to work freelance. And so I got back in touch with some of my former colleagues at History Channel and started writing for the website on a freelance contributor basis. And I've been doing that ever since, which is like 13 years now.
You have the career that I have dreamed of all my life. I am just a little exposition. I'm a history freak. I love history, especially U.S. history. It's just been my thing since I was a kid. And
That's one of the many reasons why I wanted to talk with you and reach out to you initially, was because of your background. And I wanted to ask you about just history in general, because, you know, for someone who has been as fascinated with history as you have been and kind of made it your career and been so successful at it, I want to ask you about why that appealed to you. Why did history appeal to you just in a general sense in the first place?
I think having a history teacher for a father, and my mother's also a historian, I mean, it was very natural. I got introduced to it very early, and I loved to read. So, and like everything, not only fiction. I mean, I started with fiction, but then pretty early on, my parents would give me gifts of history books. The first I remember was a photo biography of Abraham Lincoln. So that was kind of my first and still biggest love with history, is Lincoln and the Civil War era. And I also visited Monticello very young, and I remember loving walking around and looking at all of Thomas Jefferson's inventions and the bed where he slept, and, you know, getting very interested in history through the people of history, you know. And obviously that starts with kind of the huge figures like Jefferson, Lincoln, you know, famous people. But then as I kept studying history and writing about history in school, I found myself more drawn to, you know, the smaller stories, that like the kind of micro narratives that can tell more about the era, not just the major figures, presidents, prime ministers, everything, but also the ordinary people. So I really like reading that kind of story too. And I love that history, with my work, I can do kind of both of those.
Now, before we get into the book on a little bit more of a deep dive, I want to ask you about just another really speculation question, but history and mystery seem to go together so well. I mean, it's one of those things that it's just a natural tie. And I wonder if you could sort of talk a little bit about why you think that is. I mean, as someone who's written a book like Vanished, Breaking History of Vanished, why does history and mystery seem to tie together so beautifully, really?
Part of it is that with mysteries, there's a sense that there's something still alive about that history. Like, we don't exactly know how everything turned out. It's not dead in a sense. It's still living because the mystery is living on. And of course, that's extra true with Amelia Earhart's story. But there are many of those stories that are similar. So I think that's kind of it, that people feel like if they haven't figured it out yet, it's kind of, in a sense, still part of the present as opposed to the past.
And speaking of Amelia Earhart, obviously our girl made the cover, so we'll get into the cover in just a little bit and why you chose that and why, how that happened. But I wanted to ask you, do you have any early recollections of Amelia Earhart, if you think back? Do you remember what your earliest experiences were with her?
Well, I think it must have been pretty early on in school. And I think, you know, in elementary school when I started getting interested in history and stuff. But I think at first it was sort of this image of the, you know, glamorous female pilot who disappeared, you know, kind of an abstract image, larger than life. And then in high school, I remember reading about a biography of Charles Lindbergh. And so I think from there, I learned more about aviation and early aviation and how the celebrity that went along with that. So I think that also brought me to Earhart as well.
And as we mentioned just a few moments ago, she made the cover. How did that come about as far as making the cover of the book?
Well, I think it was a pretty easy decision. I mean, I wasn't personally responsible for the decision on who made the cover, but I think from the beginning, when the idea of the book came up, because it's linked to a History Channel series called Breaking History. And so when the idea of the book came up, you know, the America's Most Mysterious Disappearances, obviously Earhart came to mind first and foremost, among a small group of others that were definitely going to be covered in the book. And she's always the one that people ask the most about when I write about the book and say, oh, I love her, you know. So it's definitely the natural choice, I think.
So let's go full tilt into Breaking History Vanished now. We'll get into the book a little bit more in detail. First of all, how did this project fall into your lap, so to speak? I mean, I know you had a good relationship with History Channel, and you've been working freelance for them for quite some time. just from the conversations that you and I have had, you know, via email and everything, but how did this particular project fall into your lap to write this book and to get this out there?
Well, it was lucky because my friend from college, Keith Wallman, was working as an editor at Lions Press, and he was putting together a co-branding package with History Channel about this series of books for Breaking History. And he read my work on history.com. We hadn't been in touch since college, and he read my work and thought of me. And so he approached me to see if I'd want to do the book. And we worked together on coming up with an outline from there. And that's how it happened.
Obviously, Earhart's one of the stories. Can you go through, you don't have to list them all, but can you give the listeners out there just some of the stories that are contained within Breaking History Vanished, with the exception of Earhart, of course, she's one of them.
Sure. The Lost Colony of Roanoke is another fascinating story. Jimmy Hoffa, I just skipped from the first one in chronologically to the last one. So Jimmy Hoffa, D.B. Cooper, the mysterious skyjacker. And then there were some more sort of obscure ones, not necessarily at the time they were big stories, but we don't necessarily remember them today as we do those other big ones. So Theodosia Burr, the daughter of Aaron Burr, who disappeared on a ship voyage during the War of 1812. Louis Le Prince, who was an early film pioneer, who disappeared on a train voyage in France. Joseph Force Crater, who was a judge in 1930 in New York, who disappeared, who ended up, all the theories were that his disappearance had something to do with political corruption in Tammany Hall. And those are some of the bigger ones. Solomon Northup, the 12 Years a Slave author who kind of disappeared after becoming famous after writing that book. I think that's a good sampling.
So let me ask you this, because yeah, you've mentioned some incredible historical mysteries and stories and some incredible people just now. And I wanted to ask you about process for this book, because when you're sitting down, when you're kind of, I guess, structuring the book, what made you decide to put specific people in, leave specific people out? How was that process for who made the book, who didn't make the book? I mean, possibly for a sequel, for a future book, but how did that work for you?
I wanted to have a wide range of time periods and men and women and different kind of fields of, I don't know, study, like not only famous people, but also more obscure people. Another one that I really liked writing was Dorothy Arnold, who was a socialite in New York City. So kind of an ordinary person, not famous, but her disappearance had an impact on the, not only her family, obviously, but on the time period. So that was also a consideration, how much of a lasting impact these disappearances made in society and on the culture. And it, specifically in the United States, we focus on American history, although some of these are international.
Let's talk about let's talk about Amelia Earhart a little bit. Let's get into kind of that whole story and sort of what you learned in the research that you went through. First of all, I guess my first question is, how long did you allow yourself or allot yourself to do research for each individual story? And can you tell me anything about the research process for the Amelia Earhart case?
Well, I was working under a pretty tight deadline, and this was in addition to my other work for the History Channel. So I didn't feel that I could dedicate, you know, unlimited amount of time to every person. But with Earhart, there's just so much material. So many books have been written, you know, it's still widely written about today. So, you know, I could have spent way more time on her than I did. But I think I tried to limit myself to, you know, a couple of work days for the research. I didn't keep exact track of my research process, but I tried to get a sense of the headlines, which took the actual news headlines, which is the breaking news area of the story, and then also trace the case through as it happened, kind of, because that's the idea of the book, to kind of give a front row seat to history as it happened. So the weeks and months after the disappearance, and then go forward into what was written about it later and the lasting impact.
Yeah. What do you think? And, you know, it's really interesting. You might be, you really be in a good position to talk about this, I think, but it's interesting for us. I mean, over at Chasing Earhart and kind of everything we're doing and who we're talking to, it seems like the case of Amelia Earhart, the disappearance and the legacy is sort of intertwined. And I think I've argued that, you know, you can separate the two and the legacy obviously stands on its own. But the disappearance, you know, from the moment she disappeared, July 2nd, 1937, and it's like taking on an entire new life. It's a totally different, you know, thing. You can almost compartmentalize, if you will. But I wanted to ask you, as far as researching for a book like this, is it important for you to kind of go chronological? Like, you know, you talk about her life and kind of, you know, who she was and kind of lay that out there for people who might not be familiar with her or as familiar, other than the fact that maybe she was a pilot, that's all they really knew. Is it important for you to sort of lay out chronologically a little bit about her life, why she was so crucial, why she was so important, and then talk about the disappearance almost chronologically, which is how you do it, which is kind of, I think, is important for people who want to get like a snapshot of this case?
Definitely. One of the things for her, we included a sort of timeline or chronological biography of her in one of the early sections of the book. Sort of what, I think it's a section called, What Did We Know? So what did we know about Earhart when she disappeared? We knew her story was very famous, obviously, because she was one of the most famous women in the world when she disappeared. And then became astronomically more famous because of her disappearance. But anyway, I wanted to give a picture of, and again, it is a snapshot, as you say, because it's so short, what led her to become a pilot, her training as a pilot, how she became famous, why she decided to take this trip around the world. So that was a very important part of establishing her impact on, before she even disappeared. She was a role model for so many people, women and men. You know, she had her own fashion line. She was personal friends with Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt. You know, she was just a very influential figure at the time of her disappearance, which is why the headline, you know, it was such huge news when she did disappear, to a greater extent than pretty much any case in the book that we covered. That was really the most important story in the world at that time.
Yeah, and it's interesting. It's one of the most important stories still, and I think that's kind of the crazy part about it. And you know, I love, and again, I can't really praise enough the book and sort of how you've laid this out for people, because there's a lot of people, and this is why, one of the reasons why. And for those who are listening to this podcast right now, we will have given away the 3 copies, but you know, you were kind enough to allow us to give away a few copies of the book. And I think the reason why I wanted to give away the copies like we did was because it is a snapshot, and it's really nicely done, because you've got, you know, it's split up into sections. So you've got the headlines. You talked about what did we know, which I think is awesome, because that's where you start. What do we know? What is it that we actually knew for fact about this whole case or about Amelia Earhart in general? And then you have, you know, all of the different headlines scattered throughout the actual story. And then you've got the developing story, and then you've got the top theories, which I think is really interesting too. So it's a really good, like, if somebody wants to just read several pages of a story, this is the way you want to go, because it really gives you like, you know, it gets you familiar with the case, really kind of in a, it's almost like a crash course in the case of Amelia Earhart, which I think is, and that really kind of speaks to all the stories in the book and all the historical mysteries that you talk about in the book. And I think it's really nicely done.
Thank you. Yeah. I think that's what I was trying to get across, was not, this isn't, you know, a book that necessarily introduces a major new theory or solves these mysteries, because so much volumes have been written about each one of them. This is just sort of presenting them in a way that allows the reader to kind of feel what it was like when they first happened, and then see the impact that they had over the course of history.
Well, we've, and you know, Sarah, just for people who are listening, Sarah does not know this yet, but we have had people email us regarding this book for the past, I don't know, maybe a couple months now. And they've said, you know, because of Breaking History and because of Sarah's book, I've gone out now and I've gotten, you know, like detailed books on these cases, and I've gotten, you know, it's an appetite whetter is what it really is. Like, it really gets you it makes you want to sink your teeth into specific stories that you're attracted to, you know, in our case, of course, Earhart, but other ones too. D.B. Cooper is another really big one that people are just seem to be continuously fascinated by. But a book like this does a really big service, I think, for historical mystery. And just, so I want to praise you for that, because it's a really great job.
I appreciate it. That's great to hear.
And now what I want to ask you about, you know, is really kind of, if Chasing Earhart's really about anything, it's about impact and legacy. And I love to ask this question of every project guest because everybody gives us a different answer. And I love the variety of answers we get, but it's really a two-part question. And the first part is, what do you think Amelia Earhart's impact and legacy is in 2018? And secondly, what's the big deal? Like, why does everybody care so much about this case in particular, so long, 8 decades after she disappeared, her and Fred Noonan? Why are people so invested in the fate of Amelia and Fred after this such long time?
Well, I think from the beginning, even before she disappeared, Amelia Earhart was kind of larger than life because of her charisma, her ambition, and also this, you know, the help of her husband and the publicity that was around her. I feel like the fact that she had this sort of dream at a time when people needed dreams. It was the Great Depression. And, you know, Earhart had this audacious dream to go around the world across the Pacific, which has never been done before. And I think for women, she was a symbol of freedom and independence, and her fame made her larger than life. So her story and her disappearance sort of live on as that kind of the ultimate historical mystery. And I think, as I said before, that keeps her alive in people's minds in a way that a lot of figures from history aren't alive anymore. The facts of her case, while, you know, you can look at the facts of her case and come to wildly different conclusions, and people do. They look at the same facts and they say, no, this means that this happened to her, or this shows clearly that this happened to her. And so it's an ongoing debate. It's still really has strong opinions on either side. So I think that kind of drives her forward and keeps her alive in a way that not many historical mysteries are.
One final question before we wrap up the interview, and that's I want to get this book out there as much as we can. Where can people pick up the book, Breaking History Vanished, and where can people follow your work online? Do you have a Twitter? Do you have Facebook? Like, how can you plug all that for us?
I have a website, sarahpruitt.com. I am on Twitter at Sarah_Pruitt. I'm on Facebook at Sarah Pruitt Writer and Instagram as well. I'm not as active as I should be on those forums, but I'm trying. And the book is available Amazon, Barnes & Noble. I believe other bookstores as well.
Will there be a sequel to Breaking History Vanished? Have you guys discussed that idea?
Yeah, it's a three-part, right now I think there are three books planned in the Breaking History series, but it won't be Vanished. It will be, I think, different topics in history. And I'm not currently writing any of those, but I think there will be a follow-up.
Sarah, this has been an absolute pleasure. I really appreciate it. I know you have a lot going on, so thank you so much for your time and for joining us and being a project guest of Chasing Earhart.
It was my pleasure. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Chasing Earhart podcast, part of our Legacy Retrospective Series. We hope you've enjoyed the show. Come back to ChasingEarhart.com each week for another new podcast. While at ChasingEarhart.com, visit our archives and our blog to hear all of our past episodes and interviews with guests such as Brad Meltzer, Tom Vinson, Candace Fleming, Jessica Cox, Abigail Harrison, and Shasta Ways. You can also hear interviews with representatives of all of the relevant hypotheses regarding the disappearance of Amelia Earhart and Fred Noonan, such as Tom King, Dick Spink, Gary LaPook, Rick Gillespie, Andy Sherrill, and more. Also at our site, you can find hundreds more posts, project updates, and much more information regarding the life and disappearance of Amelia Earhart. The Chasing Earhart podcast is a show without any sponsors or ads. We rely on support from listeners like you to keep the Chasing Earhart project operating. You can donate to the show, and as our thank you, receive bonus podcasts, merchandise, and advanced opportunities for Chasing Earhart events. Find a full list of available shows and rewards at patreon.com/chasingearhart. You can also follow the project on social media, where our team posts all of our shows, news, and project information, and that hashtag is @ChasingEarhart. The Chasing Earhart podcast is produced by Vanessa Williamson and edited by Tom Myers. Podcast music is provided by Dane Jarris Schmidt. and narration is done by Forrest Burgess. The opinions on Chasing Earhart are those of the individual guests and may not reflect those of Chris Evan Films, Incorporated. Chris Evan Films, Incorporated is not affiliated with the films or clips referred to herein. All movie clips and audio used in this podcast are the intellectual property of their respective copyright holders. They are included here for the purpose of historical education, and no infringement is intended. The Chasing Earhart podcast is an exclusive trademark of Chris Evan Films, Incorporated, and may not be used without the express written consent of Chris Evan Films, Incorporated. All rights reserved. The Chasing Earhart podcast is a Chris Evan Films production. Copyright 2018. All rights reserved.